Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Edward. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, dear brethren. I bring you the love and greetings from India, and especially love and greetings from my home ecclesia, which is in Erode, a city in the state of Tamil Nadu. Brethren, it is an absolute joy and blessing to be amongst all of you this day. We thank the Lord for having given us this opportunity to serve amongst brethren whom we never even imagined we could see in our lives. The topic we have chosen for this online convention today is on the shaking of the heavens and the earth. Shaking of the heavens and the earth. The text chosen for today's meditation is from the book of Haggai. We read from chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Brethren, when we look at the divine plan for mankind from God's point of view, we notice how we all are in such a period of time where the scripture prophecy is unfolding very much before our eyes. And so we feel it is essential to meditate and understand the depth of this prophecy. This particular scripture shows us how there are two shakings in the picture. Notice how the words yet once indicates a repetition of something similar that has already taken place. And the same has been mentioned by Apostle Paul in Hebrews 12th chapter, verses 25 and 26. It reads, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more we who turn away from him that warneth from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. Amongst the two shakings mentioned in these scriptures, the first one called to our mind the quaking of the earth that took place at the time of the inauguration of the law covenant at Mount Sinai, to which the fleshly Israelites bore witness with their own eyes. Brethren, we believe this was a type to the second shaking mentioned in Haggai 2:6 and Hebrews 12:26, which is our meditation for the day. If that be the case, what is this shaking that we are so keen on meditating? As an answer to this question, we would like to quote from Pastor Russell's writings in Convention Reports, page number 114. Quote, the literal shakings and terrible sights associated at the time of the inauguration of the law covenant was but a feeble picture of the awful commotion which will prevail in its antitype in the end of this age. Again from reprints 4503. Quote, the account of the mountain quaking and smoking and the terrible sights and sounds referred to by St. Paul, which we understand prefigured the great time of trouble we are expecting, in which society will be shaken and mankind be prepared for the establishment of the mediatorial kingdom of Christ under the new covenant. End of quote. Brethren, we see how our dear Pastor Russell here mentions that this shaking is an end of the age event, and more specifically, prefigures the great time of trouble that will shake both the heavens and the earth. So this requires that we study and see the finer details to this great time of trouble, during which time the heavens and the earth are shaken. Let us start by trying to understand the symbology of the words the earth and heavens. First, we read about the symbol earth and note what it comprises of. A few scriptures might help us with this. We read from Isaiah 2:19, "And men shall go into the caves of the rocks and into the holes of the earth, from before the terror of Jehovah and from the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake mightily the earth." We note here caves and holes upon the earth. Now we read from Jeremiah 4:23-24. "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved to and fro." We note here mountains and hills upon the earth. Now we read from Haggai 2:6. "For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Here again we note the sea and the dry land upon the earth. Therefore, we know that the earth in itself comprises of many things, as shown in these verses, and each one of these compositions have a specific symbolism attached to it. Therefore, we see the meanings of these symbols. The caves symbolizes attempted protection of human organizations, insurance companies, secret societies, etc. We found this from Sermon Book 7:3-8. Holes symbolizes or symbolizing trade unions, trusts, all societies, secular and ecclesiastical, from 2nd volume 139. Mountains symbolizing kingdoms, 1st volume 318. Hills symbolizing less autocratic governments that have rules with unlimited authority, 4th volume 551. Sea symbolizing the lawless and anarchistic element, 1st volume 318. Dry land symbolizing more settled law abiding of mankind, 3 Prince 1:4-8:4. In the same way, the word heaven with its many compositions also have specific symbolism to it, such as we read in Joel 2:10. "The earth quaked quaketh before them, the heavens trembled, the sun and the moon darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. Here we see the compositions in the heaven. Sun and the moon, symbolizing the illuminating influences of gospel and the Mosaic law. Similarly, stars symbolizing the apostolic lights, both from 4th volume, 544. I request the translators to please live translate the following quote I am quoting. We quote from reprint 5516. The shaking of earth signifies, as respects society, government's social order. In the same symbolic language of prophecy, the heavens represent the ecclesiastical systems, as the earth represents the social. The meaning of the Lord's word is, therefore, clear. The coming trouble is not to be mere one upon the world of mankind, but in a very special sense, it is to signify a shaking of the church, the ecclesiastical or spiritual or heavenly powers. End of quote. Now, brethren, let us see some of the causes for this shaking. The cause number one, natural result of sin. The shakings occur as a natural result of sin. This we can read in the first volume, page number 308 and 309. We see how the retributive characteristic of God's law puts all creation who rebel against God in a spot where they must face the consequences of their actions. Those found to be in harmony with God's law of righteousness are blessed, while those who choose to do otherwise are punished. And so, the shaking of heaven and earth at the great time of trouble is but a natural result of sin and a time where they reap the penalty or wrath for their own course of actions against God's kingdom. And so this period is called the day of vengeance of our God and a day of wrath. We read this from Isaiah 61:2. To proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And we read from Isaiah 63:1-4, just to mention, for the day of vengeance was in my heart and the year of my redeemed is come. Similarly, Psalm 110:5. The Lord at thy right hand will strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Brethren, let us see the second cause for this shaking. It is the Lord's presence. We read about this in the second volume, page number 100 and 140. In this day of trouble, or the day of Jehovah, our Lord begins his reign over the earth by breaking the present kingdoms to pieces and making way for the everlasting kingdom to be established. Our Lord's presence and reign begins in a way that seems to be full of trouble for the ignorant world of mankind. But it is this presence of the Lord that begins the most awaited hour where the power of God that was dormant and silent toward the permission of evil until then has now come to a time where finally the Lord's rod has started to take the upper hand. We read from few scriptures about this. Psalms 149, 8 and 9. This honor have all his saints, to execute the judgments written, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Revelation 2, 26, 27. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Psalm 2, 8 and 9. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Now to the third cause for the shaking of the heavens and the earth. It is the increase of knowledge. We read about this increase of knowledge in Daniel 12th chapter, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, set up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Brethren, while the increase of knowledge can be seen as a blessing, the scripture in Daniel links the time of trouble when the heavens and earth are shaken with the increase of knowledge, which we can all testify to in our times. Yes, the rapid increase in knowledge is something that is beyond what a depraved mankind can handle, and thus is an imminent cause to the shaking of the heavens and earth in coming great time of trouble. The fourth cause is selfishness. Reprints 1, 2, 4, 5. I request the translators to refer the following scripture, if possible, read, and the following quote live. We read about the selfishness in James chapter 5, 1 through 5. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are rusted, and their rust shall be for a testimony against you, and shall eat your flesh as fire. You have laid up your treasures in the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who mowed your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth out, and the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived delicately on the earth and taken your pleasure. You have nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. Record from Reprints 1, 2, 4, 5. But God's word reveals, two, that selfishness will be permitted to bring upon men one more final and to many an everlasting profitable lesson before the bridge of restitution is thrown open. End of quote. That is, in a hurry to obtain the liberties and blessings which the Lord has designed to give at a later point in time, the world of mankind, in all its selfishness, is working towards crushing all the systems they themselves have built. The gap and conflicts between capital and labor will continue to grow because of selfishness on both the parts. And this will eventually end up in shaking the heavens and earth. Next cause would be the Lord's army. We read about the Lord's army in Joel.
Brother Prabhakaran, can you please kindly unmute your mic? Thank you.
The Lord's the next cause would be the Lord's army. We read about the Lord's army in Joel chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 and 10. Blow you the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Jehovah cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains. A great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even to the ears of many generations. Verse 10. The earth quake before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. Brethren, therefore, another huge cause for the shaking of the heavens and the earth is done by a class of people called and referred in the scriptures as the Lord's army. Ironically enough, these people themselves do not know that they are part of such an army that who would lead to the collapse of great and proud mountains, that those are the kingdoms. This army comprises of people who call themselves patriots, reformers, socialists, moralists, anarchists, and even sometimes consists of the ignorant and helpless. It is the day of Jehovah, and the trained soldiers of Christendom rebel and strive against the authorities and work towards the breaking down of the four systems, namely political, social, economic, and the religious. We also notice of how this is an immense army will include people in various uniforms such as communists, infidels, socialists, anarchists, and nihilists. But if we are to put it in simple words, the Lord's army comprises of the dissatisfied masses of the world. I will repeat, the Lord's army comprises of the dissatisfied masses of the world, whose rebellion against these systems of the present evil world would bring about the fulfillment of the shakings of the heavens and the earth. Brethren, now let us look into the purpose of the shaking of the heavens and the earth in the plan of God. We read about the purpose of the shaking of heaven and earth in the great time of trouble in volumes. It is shaken so that it may be removed. It is shaken so that to destroy its corruptions. It is shaken because present civilization will be destroyed, because the Lord has something far better for the world. Therefore, we see how the crux of all of this shaking of the heavens and the earth is to disintegrate all the man-made systems built by mankind in the second world. The intent is to destroy all the organizations that have risen up like shelters for the lost race, and to show its utter failure in providing ideal conditions. Thus, every civilization is brought to the dust with all its corruptions and policies, only to show and prove that the Lord has something far better in store for the entire world of mankind. We read about that in 2 Peter 3 verses 8 through 10, but for the purpose, we read only the verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now to the result of the shaking. The desire of all nations will be realized as the result of a great shaking of the heavens, earth, sea, and all nations. This is prophetic fulfillment of the great time of trouble, with which the collapse of present institutions will come about before the establishment of Messiah's kingdom, or the desire of all nations. So, the passing away of the present symbolic heavens or ecclesiastical powers will leave the place of spiritual control to the new heavens, the Church of Glory. Also, the passing away of the present social earth will give place to the new order of things, styled the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness in 2 Peter 3:13. That is, a new earthly government under the ruling of ancient worthies. This will be the new earth, which will still be the same planet, but under new conditions, new social arrangements provided by the Messianic kingdom. At that time, the prophecy of Haggai will begin to be fulfilled, the portion which declares the desire of all nations shall come. The new earth condition is pictured by Saint Peter most beautifully, saying in Acts 3rd chapter, verses 3, 19 to 23. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, as before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of all holy prophets since the world began. Brethren, in conclusion, Apostle Paul gives us the comforting assurance that this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. And he further shows in Hebrews 12:28 that which will remain after the shaking and which cannot be moved will be the kingdom of God, which we shall inherit if we prove worthy. That is, if we stand all the tests and shakings and cannot be shaken out. The apostle, in stating that the kingdom of God, the true church, the elect, cannot be shaken, thereby intimates that it shall not be exempted from those blasts that shall shake and utterly remove all other organizations, but rather that the true elect church shall not be moved by them, because her foundation is sure. We read from Psalm 46:5 that God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. As a matter of fact, we find ourselves today in the midst of these perilous and disintegrating influences. The storm is rising, and as predicted, it is felt first by the Lord's little flock of consecrated believers. Their faith and patience and zeal and endurance are being tried by every means that the adversary can devise. Every device of error is being put forth in its most pleasing and subtle form. And advantage is being taken of every weakness of the flesh to overcome those who are endeavoring to fight the good fight of faith and to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when we consider that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, brethren, we realize that the contest is very unequal one, unless we lay hold upon the strength which God supplies to us through Christ. The apostles' language further intimates that since only that which cannot be shaken will remain and will inherit the kingdom, all others will fall. And in this light, the words of the psalmist, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, are seen to be no exaggeration. Nor should the faithful few be at all dismayed when the various shakings sift out their number. For so it must be until only that which cannot be shaken shall remain. Thus, the whole nominal church, both within and outside the various organizations, must be shaken until only the true and faithful remain. For God will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. But this shaking is permitted not only to sift out of the church all shakable things, but it is to extend to all the nations. And so unprepared are they for the storm that is coming, and so unable to resist it, that the apostle with prophetic foresight declares that their shaking signifies their utter removal. And further, that their removal is not in order that anarchy may prevail, but in order that the kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken, may take their place. It is this body of Christ, the spiritual house of Israel, which, though lashed by many a storm, nevertheless cannot be shaken. Because the church is firmly founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus. The church is this house that Paul calls the temple of God in 1 Corinthians 3:16. That is to inherit the kingdom of God, and that Jehovah says he is going to fill with his glory. Brethren, God will fill the church with the glory of the divine nature. He will make every member of it like unto Christ's glorious body. He will endure them with power from on high to execute faithfully all of the divine purpose for human restitution and for the establishment of universal harmony and peace. We praise the Lord for such a hope for both the church and the world. May its inspiration be felt by every devout heart, and its warning be heeded by everyone who feels to any degree inclined to be unstable. So, dear brethren, let us be careful to take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand unshaken in the midst of the storms of this evil day, and be counted worthy to be a living stone in the glorious temple of God, now shortly to be filled with his glory, and to be an heir of that kingdom which cannot be moved, and which shall indeed be the desire of all nations. Amen. I thank the dear Croatian brethren, the Croatian Ecclesia, for extending this wonderful opportunity, and I thank the dear translators for helping us in making this discourse reachable to all the brethren. I finally thank our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ for this wonderful fellowship with you all, dear brethren. Thank you.
வேற பிரபா பிரபா முடிச்சிட்டீங்களா?
எஸ் பிரதர்.
ஓகே இல்ல ஓகே ஓகே சீக்கிரம் முடிச்சிட்டீங்க, 1 hour இருக்கு உங்களுக்கு. ஓகே தேங்க்யூ பிரதர் பிரபா. ஓகே ஓகே தேங்க்யூ பிரதர் பிரபா. ஸோ ஐ எம் சாரி பிரதர், ஹியர் இட் இஸ் ஹெவிலி ரெய்னிங், ஸோ தேர் இஸ் அன் இன்டர்நெட் இஷ்யூ, ஸோ ஐ எம் எக்ஸ்ட்ரீம்லி சாரி ஃபார் தட். ஓகே, ஸோ இன் ஆர்டர் டு end this prayer,